Time for the Morning Brief, where we bring in one of our analysts for their perspective on the day's big stories. Today, it's Preet Banerjee, personal finance commentator, founder of Money Gaps. Nice to have you.
Good morning, John.
So Umar Zamir doing rounds of interviews. He did one with our John Woodward at CTV. And I'm wondering what your takeaway in all of this is. I mean, I sometimes reflect on the fact that, first of all, this has consumed 3 years of Umar Zamir's life. And even though he was acquitted, he still has to live with the idea that he killed a man.
Well, yeah, that's exactly where my mind has gone lately, is given the result of the trial, what we found out. And then you hear about this man and his family, what they've gone through during this time, because this happened back in 2021. So having all that time before getting, the closure for him, and I don't think he's got closure, but during this time, he was not allowed to leave his house to take his kids out for, you know, even the most pedestrian things that I think a lot of parents would take for granted, taking their kids to the park, going for a walk, picking up from school, whatever it is. He was not allowed to do that. And at the same time, had to explain to his kids why that was the case. And he had to shield them and decided to use the guise of working on a really big project. And, you know, when you hear the stories about the kids saying, you know, after they told him, hey, daddy won the project, quote unquote, can we go out now? I mean, the psychological toll of that during those most formative years of children's life and bonding in a family. And on top of dealing with the fact that a human being died in this incident, it's hard to comprehend how anyone could just get over it. It's going to take such a long time.
One other aspect of the Zamir business is politicians and other figures weighing in on, all kinds of things that happened during the trial. And the police chief, Myron Demke, has walked back his remarks about regretting the outcome of the trial.
Yes, and I have to admit that my initial reaction to hearing the chief's first comments, I was a bit shocked. They sounded that it kind of gave the idea that the police should not just be enforcing the law, but apparently also setting it and making decisions about the outcomes in court. And I was really taken aback by it, but now, you know, I think he's trying to walk it back. I think he's realized maybe, that wasn't the right thing to say based on the opinions of other people. But now we see that there's an internal review of plainclothes policing procedures that he's ordered. And I think that we need some kind of accountability in terms of what is the external oversight of that review. Will those results be made public? I hope that there's accountability as to what happens next because of everything that was kind of revealed at trial.
Meanwhile, Queen's Park yesterday, they actually had to suspend the session because there were people in the gallery wearing keffiyehs and making a fuss. It came to a vote a second time and there were objections, so the keffiyeh remains banned. Can we move on?
No, I apparently we can't. It's interesting that the premier doesn't back the ban, but I think, you know, the ban of the keffiyeh is separate from acting up in legislature and interrupting procedure in the House. And so that, I think, is probably covered by existing rules of what is allowed to happen in legislature in terms of disruption. With respect to the ban, I mean, I think it says quite a lot that the premier is saying, hey, I don't even back this ban. So it feels like it's two separate issues, but it's, of course, going to be intertwined. And that's what makes it difficult to disentangle when it comes to, well, what do you do in terms of procedure going forward?
Yeah. Federal conservatives, meanwhile, are launching an initiative. They want to bring back plastic straws. And I don't know, maybe I just don't drink enough pop out of cups, but I don't understand this existential angst over, you know, plastic straws being replaced by paper straws. I don't even use straws.
Yeah, I think you could argue that they are literally grasping at straws at this point, which is interesting because I don't think you need to, given where they sort of stand in the polls. It would be interesting to see if this little stunt, which I think is really just designed to get people roiled up, because that seems like the brand that, you know, works and has worked for them. And certainly when it comes to politics in general, just how people react in general over seemingly little things like this gets blown up. And people know that, so they're going to do that. But it would be funny if this little stunt kind of became emblematic and they end up wearing it, that, hey, yeah, this is the party that's grasping at straws, which they, again, didn't need to.
Okay. I mean, I get what their strategy is, Preet, and it is, there's this narrative, liberals are trying to change your life. But I also find it interesting that the only time you'll find somebody taking any interest in the disabled is when they get to something like, well, what about the disabled and straws?
Yeah. And again, I, not to say that I'm completely dismissive of all reasons for tackling something like this, but the way in which it's being positioned is mostly as an anti-woke stance. And I just think that there are so many other things that we should be prioritizing, not only the politicians' times on, but also the electorate's times on the issues that we, you know, need to really think about.
So, as a result of a shortage of teachers, some high school students will get 100% on their midterms. You and I must find ourselves thinking, I wish we'd had a teacher shortage when I was in high school.
Yes. I mean, it's nice to think that in the moment when you're younger, you think, oh, great, I got, you know, a perfect score. But this actually poses a lot of problems in terms of, you know, admissions officers looking at this, knowing that, okay, we actually don't have a clear signal as to where this person would rank, because we know that this is basically an invalid mark. It's not representative of this person's achievement. But moreover to that, what about the actual student who aren't, who isn't getting the actual education that they're supposed to, and they're just getting this mark just to sort of, you know, okay, well, we're not going to hold you back, but is this a better alternative? So this is actually a much more important issue, in that students are not getting the education that they need at one of the most critical times to be getting this education before they are set out into the world to fend for themselves, where you're not going to get a paycheck for doing nothing because there's no employer. That's the real world, and there are real consequences.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, this is a genuine, I don't know if it amounts to a crisis, but I mean, why do we have this unresolved shortage of teachers? I remember 10 years ago, people were being told, don't go to teachers' college. We don't need teachers. And now, you know, kids are being left high and dry.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I know that there's a lot of legacy issues that have been dealt with in the past. I'm sure the pandemic has probably led a lot of teachers to question how much time they want to spend teaching, and maybe prevented some from continuing to be teachers. But when it comes to old-fashioned economics, supply and demand, we don't have enough teachers, pay them more, get more in there to take care of kids.
Okay, and one last story. The Americans look like they're going to be banning TikTok unless the Chinese parent company sells the company off, which I don't see happening. And I find myself wondering, okay, what are the ramifications of this whole thing? And we don't really know.
Yeah, and look, the timeline of the deal is you got to sell it within 9 months. There's some built-in extensions there. And let's say something like that happened because they're forced to do it. There's going to be such a tie-up in the courts for such a long time that this death spiral for TikTok legally may take longer than the platform would sort of like peter out and die. And even if it did, it would get replaced by something else. So I don't think this is solving the ultimate problem of misinformation dissemination on the platform and the collection of data by state-sponsored actors, but I guess it's just something else to talk about on the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Make a TikTok video. Thanks a lot for this. Good to have you.
Thanks, Sean.
That's Preet Banerjee. You can check him out at MoneyGaps, the website.